Hello and welcome to the Cigar Cast, your weekly one-stop shop for all things cigar-related, including industry news, reviews, and everything in between. We're recording live from Crown Cigars and Ales here in beautiful Brentwood, Tennessee. I'm one of your hosts, Trey Debman, and I'm joined, as I am every week, by the man who's afraid of his razor, Mr. Shane Reeves.
I am a little woolly today.
You are quite scruffy, sir.
Well, this whole day is kind of in discord, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I kind of threw off your morning, didn't I?
Well, we're kind of recording the podcast at the time I'm usually listening to the podcast.
I've got to say, I'm actually really excited this week for that very reason. This is one of only two times in the history of the Cigar Cast where if you're hearing this on the Saturday it's released, it was recorded the same day. Right. We actually, our schedules got a little wonky this week, and so we had to kind of push the recording. So it's a nice, beautiful, warm Saturday morning. I've been out working. You've been out yard sailing. It's time to sit down and have a cigar.
We hit six community yard sales this morning.
I don't know how you do it, honestly.
You do it fast. But let's light our cigar, and then we can talk about the exciting world of garage selling for fun and profit.
All right, sounds good. Why don't you tell me, I know you're, well, let me get mine out of the way, because you've got a story with yours, I think. So every Friday night, I get off work, I run by another cigar shop that's right by the office, and then I head down here. And I always grab a Padron 4000. Well, last night I had a little bit of an engagement after work, and then we came down here for the Oliva event for Austin's second anniversary, which was a great time, but that means I didn't get my Padron this week. So today I'm smoking a Padron 4000 Maduro, which is just maybe the perfect cigar.
It's hard to beat.
It is $10. It's a Nicaraguan Puro. I'm smoking the Maduro, which is just fantastic. It has so much flavor and spice and leather and all the things that you want, and it's consistent. I know every time I pick one up, the quality is good, the flavor is good, the draw is good. There's just nothing. I've never gone wrong with it.
The price. Don't sleep on the price on that cigar. That's unbelievable. What I'm
saying. It's $10. In fact, I think after tax, and Tennessee's not exactly leading the way in friendly tax on tobacco products, is still only like $11.
Yeah, it's solid. It's a solid choice. Can't tell you how many times I've walked in the humidor and just grabbed that cigar, and how many times I've walked in the humidor, walked around the humidor, and said, "There's nothing in here I'd rather smoke than that cigar."
Yeah, and that's why, you know, we talk about Padron money, right? You know, you get up into Padron money territory. We talk about that a lot, but definitely there's a lot to be said for their regular line, their non-anniversary series. It's extremely affordable for the quality of the cigar you get. I've never been disappointed.
Well, here's the deal, Pete. There's a reason why Padron doesn't have reps and doesn't do a ton of advertising and doesn't have to do a lot of work. It's because their product sells itself. It's so rare that you have a product that will totally stand on its own, totally sell itself. There's never been an ad firm that could bolster Padron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, speaking of ad gimmicks, I'm going to smoke one today. Actually, let me tell everybody first, this is the Casa Fernandez Lunatic El Chiquito.
You are on a Casa Fernandez fix right now.
Well, they're switching to Aganorsa Farms.
Right.
And which I enjoy. And Austin got the Aganorsa Farm shipment in this week, and I seen these.
Oh, I see.
And he finally got the Guardian of the Farm after me repeatedly telling him how much he needed to have those here. So it's good.
I bet
that
he will go through those so fast.
Oh, I bet it'll amaze him. He don't care for them, but I love that cigar. But the one I'm about to smoke. So this is a 4.7-inch long cigar that's a 70 ring gauge. So this is short stubby. Now, watch this. This, for all those at home, sorry, this is a podcast. But
we'll post it on Instagram.
How many cigars can you do that with? How many cigars can you just set on the table and they will actually stand vertically?
Now, the true test is going to be when you get about an inch of ash on the end of it, if it'll still do
it. If it'll still stand vertically, we'll have to do something so we don't burn Austin's table down.
Well, if you've got an inch of ash, there won't be enough heat in the end of it. I think you'll be all right.
So
it's lacquered. He doesn't listen to the show. He'll never know.
He'll never know. What did that burn mark? Hey, we'll blame it on Chuck.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is a San Andreas wrapper. It's a Nicaraguan binder and filler. Cigars International's got it listed at a medium full. Every lunatic I've ever had has been a fool and then some.
Hence the name.
Yeah. But the classic lunatic is the 8x80 Bellicoso.
That is just too much cigar.
Oh, no, it's perfect.
It is too much cigar.
I can walk the dog at night, and if a mugger jumps out and tries to get me,
you can flog him to death with it.
I can use it like a billy club. So that's what I want in a cigar. So I'm very excited to smoke this little lunatic El Chiquito because I love this concept. In all seriousness, I love the concept that I can have a super complex 70 ring gauge cigar experience that's 4 inches long and it'll only take me an hour or so to smoke.
Yeah, because that is the thing. When you get to that big a ring gauge, that the even though it's only a 4 inch long cigar, it's still going to be a bit of a time investment. That was a big thing when the Nubs first came out. Is, I mean, they were the first to really do that, and they were really the first to kind of go up above 60 ring gauge, as far as I recall. And so it was, the whole idea was that you get this great flavorful experience in a shorter time frame, but because of the because it takes a little bit more to smoke a cigar that big, it it still slows you down a little bit.
Come warm yourself by my cigar.
Good Lord.
I'm still in the process of getting it lit. Hang on, I got to hit it one more time with the forge yet to really get things going.
I'm afraid you're either going to set your eyebrows or our microphones on fire. That thing is flaming up.
It won't be the first time either one of them has been set aflame.
That being said, I always know when it's time to trim my beard, speaking of being a little woolly. You notice I came a little close. A couple nights ago, I was relighting a cigar that was only about 2.5 inches long left on it and singed my mustache. And so I always know when it's time to trim the beard because every once in a while, it'll be like this one was just barely. I didn't even notice it happened at the time until I was looking in the mirror a few days later and I went, oh, yeah. But there have been a couple of times where I've properly set my face on fire and had to go and shave the next day and get rid of it.
Okay, so now I've got to give you the choice of which direction the show should go. I can either
choose your own adventure. I like this.
I can either tell about the premium cigar exemption bill that's been put into place this week that may or may not pass, as well as something stupid Canada's doing, or I can tell you about my wife catching me punching the frying pan.
You know what? It's Saturday morning. Let's talk about a frying pan.
You should see the look on my wife's face when she walks through the kitchen and I'm there punching the frying pan.
Especially because there's a lot of... Everybody has their own definition of a compromising situation, right? We've all been in them in some form or another. And there's always that, it's not what it looks like. But if you're punching a frying pan... Odds are it probably is what it looks like.
Exactly what it... Well, okay, so I have this frying pan that's a cheap Walmart $10 frying pan that I love.
Cast iron or...
No, Teflon. I'm sure it's poisoning me.
Okay.
It's probably the reason that my neighbors don't have children. But it's still a great frying pan. It cooks every time. It doesn't stick. But due to years of use of heating and cooling and... putting it under the water while it's hot to clean it off and all the abusive things I do to a frying pan, it warped. And so whenever I would set it on the stove, it would rattle and the eggs would pull up in one side or the other.
And you've got one of those glass top stoves too, yeah, right? So it's not like you can get it on the eye of the gas stove, right?
Right. So I picked it up and I thought I did what most men would think, well, why can I not punch this frying pan back into shape?
When all else fails, brute force.
So Glenda comes walking through the kitchen, and I'm giving it a taste of the old Missouri soup bone. And she just gives me a look like we could buy another frying pan, Shane.
But I don't want another frying pan. I want this frying pan.
And the amount of satisfaction I gained from when that frying pan did set flat on the stove after its rigorous beating was worth all of the dirty looks in the world.
That aluminum has got to be paper thin by this point. To be able to just manually, with no heat, no nothing, to just beat it into submission back to round.
Well, and it wasn't repeated. I just held it in one hand, and I just used the other hand to give it the old, you know, the old 1-2. Just a little jab. So, anyway. That's everybody out there is now thinking, how has she lived with him for 20 years?
That is, you know, I often wonder that.
So this week, the premium cigar exemption and predicate cigar date are included in the FY 2019 Agricultural Appropriations Bill.
Okay.
So basically what this means is Cigar Rights of America, Premium Cigar and Pipe and Retailers Association, and everybody except for the Texas Cigar Association that's suing the FDA, has said, okay, if you will put the premium cigar exemption literature into this bill, then we will let...
We'll drop the case?
No, we will put... Just a second, I'm trying to find exactly where it says. Oh.
Well, your iPad's only 600 feet wide. How could you not find it on that thing?
It is a little bit large. I'm going to have to increase the size of the text to old man level. So... what it includes in that, and I think this is the compromise. You know, we've talked about this whole thing's been about where's the compromise.
Mm-hmm.
This tougher language on vapor and e-cigarette requirements, including requirements for online age verification and banning the use of vapor products in school. Is that happening?
It probably. But, well, okay. It's probably already been banned. So it's, I mean, anywhere you smoke vape, is all, wow, that's not coming out right. I mean, vaping is pretty much regulated like smoking, like airplanes, indoors, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine that it would be allowed in schools anyway.
Well, and here's the coup de grace. The tobacco associations are also willing to fund a $50 million awareness campaign.
Okay, sure.
Which, I'm okay with that.
For compromise sake. I get it.
But can we not just step up and say, hey, dude, the vape just looks awful. There's nothing cool. There's nothing fun. There's nothing satisfying about
blowing water out. They could probably say the same to us, though.
Are you kidding? Look at this cigar. Look at the girth on that cigar. How could you not?
You're having too much fun with that.
I am. I'm having a blast.
No, I mean, yeah, I think we... the whole vape thing... and the fact that they ever got tied together in the first place doesn't make sense to me.
It's money.
Yeah.
Vape has no money. It's six hippies in a garage with a bucket full of powder and a water hose, whereas cigars are artisans out there working and slaving in the sun to produce a quality product for our enjoyment. It may have been a little one-sided.
A little bit. Yeah. Do you ever think about being an attorney? I could use you on my side in a heated debate.
And if all else fails, I'll punch them right in the frying.
But now, so does it look like they're going to attach that language? And do we still know, is there still some question over what the definition of a premium cigar is? Because the $10 rule was in there initially, and everyone got all up in arms about that.
I think the $10 rule is gone. I think it is, as we've discussed before, I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
But I think the wording is a premium, a hand-rolled, created...
I knew the $10 thing was gone. I just didn't know what replaced it as a definition. But, I mean, good on them. Like, it just makes sense to me.
Now that gives me hope. That's one of the few things I've read that involves the government that actually gives me hope for our lives.
Which is very rare.
This, and here's the thing, so much stuff that starts in Canada migrates south and we end up with it.
Other than geese, I don't...
Hockey.
Okay.
Other plagues upon mankind. So,
how dare you, sir?
I say good day.
I am wearing my jersey in here next time we record.
Okay, well, whatever works for you. But Canada approves plain packaging for tobacco products.
Hey! All right.
No.
No?
Look at the picture.
Oh.
Instead of the wonderful decorative cigar labels.
Okay, I thought you were saying... like getting rid of Surgeon General's warnings and things like that, like all of the other. So literally it looks like something out of an Army supply store.
Yeah, literally.
Like surplus cigar product number one, cigar product number two.
Yeah, literally the picture I'm looking at is a green label with white writing on it that says Padron Family Reserve number 45, Nicaragua. that cigar deserves better than that.
Yeah, it does.
If I was Padron, I would refuse to sell my cigars to Canadians if that's the way they wanted to do business.
So what is their thought process here? That if you make them ugly, people won't want to pick them up?
I guess so. I have no idea. It's the stupidest line of reasoning I can imagine.
I mean, that being said, it looks cool. I do like it. If a cigar company had come out with that band, I would pick it up and smoke it. I do like the way it looks.
With the army surplus?
Yeah, I like it. You call it the howitzer. No, that's already been taken.
Edge already took that. But I just...
You just name it... You just have a bunch of different sizes. You have the hot lips. You have the Hawkeye. You have the Trapper. You just make a whole MASH theme.
Make a whole MASH. The Sherman
that's
Potter?
That's for the... Someone can use that for the... For our contest. Yeah. I told you I'd bring one this week.
Well, and it would actually, that would be a pretty good one. We could do a whole show on cigar themes. We could do the Baywatch.
Yeah.
And by the way.
It'd all be the egg ones.
By the way, I'm going to pull the show over here for a minute. The label would look like a G-string. I'm going to pull the show over here for a minute.
It's taking you 16 minutes. I'm proud of you.
I'd like to tell all of those critics out there that panned The Rock's Baywatch movie, that said it was awful, that said it was a waste of film.
Did you not see the TV show? That was a waste of film and that was awful. That's the point.
Here's the thing. TV and movies, primary point is entertainment.
Right.
It's here to entertain us. That's really all it's for. It's not about changing our life. Now, if it does, that's great.
Yeah,
but that does not have to be the goal of every piece of film used in this world.
It's not all Sophie's Choice.
Yeah. Can we not just enjoy...
Can't we have a weekend at Bernie's every once in a while?
Can't we enjoy a good Wang joke without some critic saying it's vulgar? I'm just going to tell you.
No, we can't.
Gratuitous nudity. Brow. The critics have launched a war against gratuitous nudity, and I would like to tell them all to kiss my rear end. Because I think gratuitous nudity added to Conan the Barbarian tremendously. So, okay, I'll climb back down.
Especially when you saw it at 16, right?
Oh, yeah. And back at the days when, you know, the availability of nudity was so different, when basically I had to lay in a field and wait for two clouds to get in the shape of boobs was as close as I came. So, you're younger than I. You never had those dark days.
No, I did not.
I mean, that's the good thing.
National Geographic was in full rotation, full publication.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all really have had it easy, young whippersnappers.
The paid channels came in scrambled, but you could still occasionally make something.
get the blurriness out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all that good stuff, but... Ring and lend it back to cigars. I'll climb off my soapbox. I do just want to say before I go, Baywatch is excellent. The Rock is hilarious. Whoever the young boy band-esque actor that starred in it with him was okay.
The High School Musical kid.
Is it Zach Galifianakis? No, it's not Galifianakis.
It's Zac Efron.
Zac Efron. Yeah. There we go. I knew it was Zach something. He was even good.
I've been so bad about that lately. I'm usually the guy you say, who was the person with the arm and the thing? And I'm right there. I've been awful with coming up with actors' names and stuff like that lately. I don't know what's going on.
Starting to show your years. Okay.
Yeah, it must be.
Vigilant launched Reliance Wall Humidor Series. Okay, now you got to check. This is why I got the big iPad, so that you could see these wall humidors. They're actually made to be installed into your wall.
Let me see that.
As a certified TV hanger, you will really appreciate the beauty of this.
Speaking of which, you could get a little wall mount for this thing. It's big enough.
I may need one.
Can we just tell the listeners at home you just got a brand new one of the big iPads?
Yeah, I bought an iPad Pro 12.9-inch. Actually, my wife bought them through her hard work in flipping strollers. So we've had a good year at yard sales buying strollers and flipping them.
This is gorgeous.
Those are beautiful.
It looks, the first picture I saw, it almost looked like it was a mirror on the wall reflecting back the humidor on the other side of the room.
You're getting ahead of me.
Okay. But, I mean, it's just, it's like your medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically, think of it, it's like your medicine cabinet. It's built to go between the studs and give you, I'd like to see it a little deeper, but I understand the limitations of a wall depth being what it is. But it's, I'm sure if you were building it custom, you could do whatever you wanted. That is awesome.
They're very attractive. Now, aisle, so I dug a little deeper.
How cool would that be at your local cigar shop for their extra special stuff?
Oh, yeah, for their Opus and their Super Padrones and all that stuff. So I dug a little deeper because I'm a home builder at heart. I love the thought of building this because one thing the Half Wheel article did not have, they had the sizes. You can get it from 30 by 40.85 to 30 by 60.85. So 30 by 60.85 is 2.5 foot wide and 5 foot eight tall. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
I think the 40.85s are probably going to be a little more popular.
Okay, yeah.
Just because then you don't have that bottom shelf, and you could hang, you know, header height is at 6 foot, so or 6 foot eight. So if you headed it, hanged it at a header height, basically had them frame a door in there,
yeah,
and then put your humidor in that.
Yeah, but
hole.
That might put your top shelf a little too high. I would think you'd want to put it down, maybe about 6 foot.
You could, but the beauty of this is if I wanted to introduce these into a set of my house plans, basically, I would just have them put in a 2.8 door.
Right.
They could just put I could put a 2.8 door in the plan, and then they can just drop this humidor where that door goes.
Yeah, so, exactly.
That's great. So I dug a little bit deeper because I wanted to know money. Wanted to know cost. So what is the cost of the 30 by the 325 to 375 approximately held cigars, the 30 by 40.85 inch by 6.5 inch deep cigars? What is the price of that humidor? It comes with Sentry analog system with digital display.
Okay.
It has removable 1.5 quart acrylic reserve.
So it uses the crystals.
Right.
Okay.
Acrylic reservoir. So I imagine it's just water.
Oh, okay. So it is.
Integrated.
So it's an active humidifier.
Integrated time to fill LED indicator light, which I wish my humidor had at home.
Yeah.
I wish my humidor at home had a light that came on when I was low of water.
You could put a little float in that thing, though.
I probably need to. I probably need to do something along those lines. And sensor accuracy is plus or minus 5%. What would you pay for this humidor?
$3,000.
$2,385.
I was gonna say $2,000, and then you mentioned that it came with an actual active humidifier. That's if I'm building a house, so because you mentioned that it's 2.5 feet wide, so it's not going to go between standard studs. You're going to have to build this section out.
Right. You're going to have to have a header. You're going to have to plan it in the construction of the home.
Yeah. Why not just build it in myself?
That's my question, is why not just
because
buy
I
the
could do
Spanish
that for,
cedar?
I could do that for $200?
The Spanish cedar is going to cost you some. You're going to have to use a silicone sealant, probably an aquarium sealant's what I would actually use to seal it up.
Couldn't you just use vapor barrier? Just plastic sheeting?
You could, but it's not going to be as effective. I would use you can get a clear acrylic silicone aquarium sealant, and the aquarium sealant will have no odor, will have no chemicals, no gas offletting, anything like that.
Okay, but still less than $1,000.
I would say $1,000 being a top dollar.
Yeah.
And this is what's funny, the 30 by 60.
Because I don't even know that I'd use the Spanish cedar except on the shelves.
No, I'd want to seal the walls in the back with the Spanish cedar, because if you used oak or something like that, you would never be able to keep it humidified. Oak rots, cedar doesn't.
Yeah.
You'd have to use a cedar product or some wood that didn't rot. The 30 by 60.85 is only $2,600.
Yeah.
So you're only $300 more to go ahead and get the big one, the 60-inch. So I'd probably go ahead and buy the 68-inch.
Yeah.
Just to be sure. But still a great product. Now, here's the thing that I want to know. Two-way mirrors, like they use in every police movie that I've ever watched, where it's dark, you can't see on one side till they turn the light on in the room.
Yeah.
Can we put one of those in the front so when people walk in my house, they don't even see my humidors?
Right.
And then my cigars, and I walk over there and I flip the switch. And
they've got the other thing now. They've got the smart glass. Have you seen that? Where it's opaque because of the unique crystalline structure in the glass. It's opaque until you turn a light switch on, which runs a current through the glass, and it aligns all of the particles and makes it clear.
That's very cool.
It's really cool.
Now we've probably blew our $1,000 budget out the window.
Although I wonder, I couldn't imagine that would be, I mean, yeah, we're probably getting close to what you would pay for that out of the box, but you're getting some cool features.
My only other concern is that they're 8.5 inches deep, which a 2x4 wall is 3.5 inches with a 1/2 inch of drywall. So you're going to have to box it out, or you're going to have 4 inches hanging out of the wall.
Yeah.
If you want it to mount flush like a window frame or something like that, you're going to have somewhere behind it for it to actually step in the room. But if you put it on a closet behind it where it could step into that closet, it wouldn't matter.
Right. Well, I was just hanging a TV for a client last week or the week before, I think. And they were in a recently renovated house that they built an addition on for the master suite. And you walk into the master suite, you turn left, and that wall has just a little, it looks like a chimney. It looks like the opposite room had originally, it's just a closet. They just, yeah. It was a bonus room, but they wanted to make an extra bedroom to increase the resale value of the house. So they just stuck it on and just stuck it into the master suite. So, I mean, you could definitely do something like that.
Yeah, usually when you see something like that happening, what they did was actually took 2 bedrooms and made a bigger master bedroom, mm-hmm. especially if it's a house that was built in the 70s.
Right.
So, but anyway, so this week on Home Improvement with Shane and Trey, we're going to step away. When we come back, we may actually talk about cigars. We're talking about graduation cigars. Tis the season when everybody's graduating. The appropriateness of getting a graduate a cigar, the appropriateness of which one to get him, how does that work? What's your favorite cigar for that? We got all kinds of stuff to talk about on that.
Sounds great. We'll talk about that and more right after this. Trey here with this week's Cigar Under $8. I want to talk about a new favorite of the show, the La Aurora 107. This comes in a bunch of different wrappers, Cameroon, Connecticut, Maduro, and one or two others that I can't think of at the moment. But basically, it's just a great medium plus, medium full cigar. And price point wise, you're looking at about $7.50 price of participation. Price and participation. Help me out, Shane. Come on.
Price and participation may vary. Void in Rhode Island.
But it's such a rich and balanced cigar. The flavors play well together so well. Lots of spice to it. Lots of leather and earth notes. The stuff that you just, it's full of tobacco flavor. I love when I get a cigar that's just tobacco flavor.
It's just such a great cigar. La Aurora, the 107, represents 107 years in business. It's a beautiful presentation. Got the big lion on the label in honor of the owner, El Leon. Just a great cigar. I can't say enough. And especially at under $8, it's hard to beat this cigar.
And the thing I really love, too, is that it comes in a box of 21. So you buy your whole box of cigars, and you've got one to give to a friend.
That's right. Everybody enjoy one. And welcome back to the Cigar Cast. This is one of your hosts, Shane Reeves, sitting across the table from the man that, after this show is over, will be going to give the commencement speech at Ringling Brothers Clown and Barber College.
I wish. I couldn't get into Clown College.
You couldn't get into Clown College? Feet weren't big enough?
Ironically, Clown College, there actually is a thing, but it's super hard to get into. It's harder to get into Clown College than it is to get into Harvard.
No kidding.
Yeah, there's a lower percentage of applicants accepted every year.
One of these days, well, there's less demand for clowns, I would imagine.
Percentage of applicants. So apples to apples.
Now, do circus clowns frown on, you know, birthday clowns, or does everybody start as a birthday clown and work their way up?
Yeah, you start as a birthday clown. You work your way up to festivals, balloon animals, and then your thesis is usually on juggling while riding a unicycle.
The pinnacle of your career.
Yeah, exactly.
And then occasionally you get that overachiever that wants to juggle chainsaws while riding a unicycle.
Right, which is a really great trick until you need to cut something down. Hey, can I just borrow one?
Give me that chainsaw. But these are the things that we think about, everyone. I appreciate y'all coming along for the ride today.
In fairness, that's Mitch Hedberg's. That's not mine.
Oh, okay. Oh, the other thing, by the way, I just guess I need to tell everybody, in reference to what we were talking about before the show or before the break about the wall humidors, be sure that if you do put one of these wall humidors in your house, put it on the opposite side of the house from your heat and air return.
Yeah.
Or else it's never going to humidify. You'll never seal it well enough that if it's on near that heat and air return, there's too much air exchange.
And also, this goes without saying, but put it on interior wall, not an exterior wall.
Yeah. Yeah, which with the advent of foam insulations and foam insulation being as good as it is, that's not as much a rule anymore. Used to, we never put a washer and dryer.
With the depth of it, though, you'd never be able to get the insulation on the backside of it.
Yeah, you'd have to literally fur the wall out.
Yeah,
exactly. Fur the wall out 12 inches to ever actually get enough to do that. But how's the Padron treating you?
Oh, just right as rain. This is the perfect... You know, I did not get up early today, but I got up earlier than I would have liked. I could have slept another hour. And had to go immediately and hang a TV for a client. And so I got to have a breakfast cigar today, which is always... I can't tell you the last time I smoked a cigar at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's one of my favorite things in the world. I love getting up, a little bit of coffee, and smoke a cigar. And so I smoked on the way down because the client was down in Chapel Hill, which for people who aren't from here, but it ended up being an hour drive.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's a solid hour for you.
Yeah.
In good traffic.
Yeah, and it was not good traffic. They've apparently shut down half of OHB over here while they're paving it down to a one lane. I sat parked for 15 minutes waiting for them because the flaggers don't know how to control traffic. But that's neither here nor there.
Also,
but yeah, so this cigar is treating me well because it's just a nice, relaxing, easy going Saturday.
That both of us sound so hyper, it's hard to believe that. But we are. This is us at our best. This is when we are our most relaxed. This is when we've not had a day's work, when we've not had any struggle or anything to overcome. You hung a TV. I ran through 60-something garage sales this morning.
Yeah, and I'm headed out of town tonight, so I'm headed over to East Tennessee to go to the Highland Games and to run a 5K, so I'm excited about that. I'm on my second cup of coffee, as the listeners can probably tell. Life is good.
Well, and in reference to the Highlands Games and to your 5K at the Highland Games, a listener, I won't say her name, requested that I make you commit that you will be wearing the kilt during your Highland Game 5K that she will be participating in. She wants you committed before me and all of our listeners, both of them.
All right, let's talk about this a minute. So I got my girlfriend. My girlfriend was starting to develop an interest in running before we met, but that's become a thing that we do together. I tend to run about a 7-minute pace, and for a 5K, she's not there yet. But she's getting so much faster. And so when we originally had the idea to run this 5K, she's going to kill me when she hears this. And when we made the commitment, she was running about 12 and a half minute miles. And I was like, perfect. I'll do it in my kilt. Because, you know, running 3 miles at that pace is not a workout for me. So it was going to be easy. Well, she's running like 10 and a half minute miles now. And it's going to be raining, and my kilt weighs 5 pounds. It's 8 yards of wool. So now I'm like, crap, what have I gotten myself into? So I've got a workout ahead of me tomorrow, but I did commit. It is supposed to be raining, so if that kilt gets wet, it's going to weigh like 20 pounds, so it's going to be a lot of fun. But yes, I will commit now and henceforth that regardless of the weather, It'll happen.
That you will wear the kilt while on the 5K.
Yes.
Okay, well, we expect a picture on the Cigar Cast page to verify.
Okay, I can do that.
And so, anyway, coming back, let's talk about graduating in cigars. It's that time of year. It's the time of year when everybody you know has somebody that's graduating, and you get invited to these graduation gatherings and all that stuff. How does the cigar fit into that, or does the cigar fit into that? What's your opinion?
I don't think it's an appropriate gift for a high school graduation. Even though the kid's 18 years old, in most cases. I wasn't. I graduated at 17. But in most cases, kid's 18, it becomes a nice little thing. But how often are we sitting down, and I am going to sound like such a crotchety old man right now, but how many times have you been in the cigar shop and a bunch of little teeny bopper 18-year-old wet behind the ear kids come in on prom night looking for their first cigar because they want to feel adult and feel cool and do the whole... And this is very much, you kids get off my lawn, and I acknowledge that and I recognize it. But at 18, you're just not cool enough to smoke cigars. You just don't appreciate it enough. It's not for you. You know, stay out of it.
Well, now I would like to argue the other side of that equation.
Okay. You'll probably bring me around to a certain extent.
So, my nephew, it's definitely the closest thing I'll ever have to a son. I'm never having kids. I have no interest in it.
Right.
But my nephew, I've been a big part of his life, and I've really been blessed to get to serve as a mentor and not just an uncle. And we can go into how that came about, but that it's not germane to the story right at this moment. My nephew had watched me smoke numerous cigars, and I'm a by-the-book guy. I don't think anybody should drink underage. I don't think anybody should smoke underage. I think the rules are there, and I think you have two choices. Follow the rules or get off your lazy rear end and do something to change them. Ignoring the rules is not a suitable road for life.
Right.
We have a friend that likes to ignore the rules he doesn't like, and that's just absolutely hypocritical, especially...
That's the first thing that came to my mind, too.
Especially considering the profession he chose.
Mm-hmm.
Either get off your lazy self and get out there and change the rule if you think 16-year-olds should be allowed to smoke, then do the work or follow the rules.
Yeah.
So for a while, he had saw me sit back and enjoy a cigar after we had had a meal or take it easy and take a relaxing time. And it was nice to get to sit and share that first cigar with him after his graduation when he was 18 and he was of legal age. It became a real moment for us.
Okay. So when did he turn 18?
A couple of months prior to that.
So had you guys not had the opportunity to smoke a cigar together before that?
We had saved it.
Okay.
It was a destination thing. It was what your first cigar should be. It was, okay, when this happens on this day, you and I are going to sit down and we're going to enjoy a cigar together.
I guess if cigars were part of your relationship, then that's different. I guess I'm thinking of the congratulations, here you go. Like the it's a boy approach to graduation cigars, if that makes sense.
I can follow that. And I guess it comes down to, the graduation cigar comes down to so much... it's an individual thing. You got to make the individual call. Like most situations involving a cigar, it's an individual call. Is the moment right? Is this appropriate? Let's not try to jam that box press cigar into that round hole.
See, and that's exactly where I fall on the issue, which is just kind of it always feels so much like this is what's supposed to happen. You see it happening with people who don't normally smoke. Now, someone like you and I who smoke a cigar a day, and this is actually part of our lifestyle, that's different than, oh, here's this momentous occasion. Let's celebrate it with this thing that we have no other attachment to whatsoever. Which is why I mentioned the 18-year-olds on prom night. Like, they're not doing it because it's a cigar. They're doing it because it's rebellious.
Yeah, there's an element of that that goes on, and that is the wrong reason to smoke a cigar.
Right. That being said, I think college graduation is a perfect opportunity for a cigar.
You know, if they've made it through college and they've smoked a couple of cigars, they've been, you know, I would say, what do you say, 70-80% of cigar smokers may smoke 3 a year?
Yeah.
I would say that's probably true.
Maybe not quite that high a percentage, but I would say less than one a week. I'd say 80-90% of cigar smokers are less than one a week.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, most golfers play a couple of times a year. And all, it's probably in that range. You have your golfers that play every day. You have your golfers that play every week. You have your golfers that play every month. And cigar smokers probably fall under those same categories.
And in a lot of cases, those may overlap.
Yeah, a lot of cases when you only smoke cigars when you play golf.
Yeah.
But probably a lot of that involved in it. But let us table now. The decision of, by the way, got to stop for a second. Have you seen the volume of smoke coming off of this cigar?
It's substantial.
This lunatic.
Your face becomes obscured completely by the smoke when you're drawing on that thing.
This is why I love a 70 ring gauge. You just feel like a steam engine. You just feel like a locomotive when you're puffing on this cigar. And this is, you know, an 8x80. That's a commitment.
That is a real commitment.
An 8x80 is what you light up when the Royal Rumble starts and you want to smoke all the way to the main event.
Right.
That's what you light up an 8x80. But the average person to throw 3 hours, 4 hours at a cigar is not a reasonable expectation.
No, the only time I've ever done that was the LFD Digger.
Yeah.
That was a 3 hour smoke for me, and it knocked me on my backside something fierce.
Well, you see, and that's kind of the double-edged sword, because sometimes when I'm going to ride down to my parents' house, and they're about 2.5 hours from here, and there's no interstates go from here to there, so it's all country road driving. It's highway driving, you know, you're 60, 65 mile an hour.
So the country roads take you home?
Country roads take me home. And the, a highly overrated song.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, that's like, okay, I could smoke 2 regular cigars, but I hate to smoke 2 cigars back to back.
Right.
I could smoke 1 cigar and start, you know, 45 minutes into the trip and finish 45 minutes before I get there or 10 minutes before I get there. There's always a lot of math having to be done.
Yeah.
Or I can smoke this Muwatt 6x60 and I can light it up when I leave my driveway and it's finished when I get in theirs.
Yeah. And see, that to me is the key, you know, headed to East Tennessee and I'm driving. So there will be, and one of the biggest points of that is if I'm going to be in the car for more than an hour, I'm smoking a cigar. But yeah, that's what I'm kind of faced with, is because I'm not going to be in the car by myself, I'm not going to smoke the thing out the whole way.
Right.
So when do I start? When do I stop? Because there's nothing worse than starting as soon as you leave, but then the whole second half of the road trip, you don't have a cigar, but you still want one because your mind's like, hey, we're in the car. We got a long time to go. Let's burn one. You know, it.
Well, and then if you choose the LFD Digger, it's such a powerful cigar and so long, it kind of wears on you as you're doing the trip.
That one is such a full-bodied cigar. Now, I have I told the story on the podcast before of the time I smoked the Digger?
You have not.
So this was back in 2013, and it was a Saturday or a Sunday, I don't remember which. But it was just I had gone for like a bike ride or something, and then I went and got a big lunch, like a Moe's burrito, like a nice, substantial, heavy lunch, and went immediately from there to the cigar shop, and I was like, I'm going to smoke a Digger today. That's what I want, because I was smoking a lot of LFD at that point. And it lasted 3.5 hours, and by the end of it, I was green. I couldn't finish it. I actually left about 4 inches left of that cigar, which I don't do. But it just knocked me out. And I'm a guy that can smoke on an empty stomach, no problem. Like, they don't make me green like that, and they haven't for some time. But that thing was just such, so I couldn't imagine trying to smoke that cigar. It's the only one I've ever had, because that kind of tainted my opinion of it a little bit. But I couldn't imagine trying to smoke a cigar like that in the car.
Well, a lot of times what I'll do, if I'm going to smoke the Digger, it's usually during a football game. I'll usually come here, it's Crown, and I'm watching football with the guys, and I'll fire up that at the beginning of the football game. And then about halftime, I'll actually take halftime for my cigar. I'll lay it down and let it go out and watch the halftime show. We always have food here. Grab a little food, relax, and then fire it back up when the game starts up, and it'll last the whole game.
Yeah.
The other problem with driving with a 7x70 or a 6x60 or a very large gauge cigar is just physics.
You've got to keep the window open so far to be able to get all the smoke out into ash that the wind coming in actually will make your cigar burn crooked.
Yeah, you have to be very cognizant to keep rotating it, but there's also the physics of just handling the steering wheel and the turn signals well.
Yeah.
People in Tennessee don't worry about turn signals near as much as I wish they would, but you got to manipulate turn signals and things like that, and you hit that occasional, especially this time of year, you might drive through a little rain shower, and it's like, well...
Speaking of which, I'm going to pull the show over for once. So, can we talk about why we don't have turn signals on the steering wheel itself yet? Why, you know, on motorcycles, you know, you've got... on Harleys specifically, you've got the left turn signals on the left handlebar, the right turn signals on the right handlebar, and that's how they work. Why do we still have the standard up-down stalk thing on the... Why isn't there a button on the front of my steering wheel? All of my stereo controls are there. Just give me a little, like, paddle kind of thing. Put my turn signal actually on the steering wheel. What?
It makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense to me.
But... Here's my only thought about that. How many times have you seen the dude that's turning and sticks his finger out and hits the turn signal? He's halfway through the turn and he's actually turning on the turn signal. Would that encourage that more? Would people start turning and then reach and push it?
Not if you put it on the front, I think. If you put it on the back, like the paddle shifters in some cars and the radio controls in some cars. But my current car, I say you put it on the front, right at the top, you know, on either side of the horn. You just one here, one here. I think the high beam should be there too, because how frustrating it is when you're driving on a like a backcountry road and you're in the middle of a turn and you've got your brights on because it's an old country road and you see a car coming, but the thing's all the way down here. So you've got to take your hand off the wheel in the middle of a turn to reduce your brights. I should just be able to hit it with my thumb and keep going. But for a safety standpoint, I think it makes perfect sense.
Well, being as we're talking, well, we've covered a lot of ground today. Being as we're talking about...
That's what Saturday does to us, I
think. Yeah. Being as we're talking about automotives, I put a suicide knob on my truck recently for garage selling and all.
So you can roll down.
That's right, so that I can hit that. And the suicide knob basically is a spinning knob. You put it on the upper left-hand quadrant of your steering wheel, and you can just snag that thing, and you can roll the wheel around. You can manipulate it. It's a great, great thing. And a very satisfying moment because my brother-in-law was in town. He said, those are illegal. I said, actually, suicide knobs are not illegal in any of the 50 states. And in Michigan, if you have certain disabilities, you're required to have one.
In fact, I had a friend when I was in college who had suffered a stroke as a kid as a result of getting hit by a truck or something like that. And so he was paralyzed on his left side. In order to get his driver's license, he had to have one of those installed on his car.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. The suicide knob, it's a $20 investment. Everybody out there, go get you one. It really increased my joy of driving.
I think the problem and why people think they're illegal is because it's called a suicide knob.
Probably. That probably has something to do with it. I want a suicide knob with a cigar holder in it so that I can lay my cigar in the knob when I'm not smoking it and just hold the steering wheel regularly.
Now you're getting a little crazy.
Hey, that may be my next invention. That may be what the cigar cast suicide knob.
But if you've got it, you just hold the cigar with the other hand, you're good. And because you smoke right-handed, so that would actually work for you. It wouldn't work for me because I'd have to be doing this sort of thing.
Yeah, but when I drive, I smoke left-handed because that's where the window is. But okay, coming back to cigars, real quick. In the event that the situation is right and the moment is right, give me the two cigars that you would get for the college graduate. What's the two cigars you would recommend our listeners purchase to give the college graduate?
All right. The first is going to be a Padron 64. Number four? Is that the Toro?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to do a Padron 64 number four because those are about $16. It's the lowest end of the anniversary series, but it's still a Padron anniversary series. And we don't have to go on any further about how great that cigar is because we've talked about it to death. That is my go-to, you know, gift cigar, without
strong,
a doubt.
Very strong.
The other cigar is probably going to be... Well, why don't you tell me one of yours first?
Well, generally, finding a daily cigar smoker or somebody that smokes cigars regularly, they're going to have a favorite cigar you give them. So I'm speaking to the college graduate that's just the occasional smoker.
Right. That's kind of where I'm putting my head at as well.
I'm going to go La Aurora. Probably the 607 series?
107.
107s. The 107 series has got the cool wrapper with the lion on it that's kind of significant.
Well, to that, the Prince, is it the Prensado? Is it the one that used to be in the tubes?
Preferidos.
Nate's going to kill us.
Yeah, we got it at the same time.
I think that, actually, if you're going that route, because of the different colors on the bands and things like that, but that's just me. You do you.
The Preferido series is not a bad choice because then you can gauge, okay, does this person like San Andreas, Cameroon? What does this person like?
Right. And the 107 has a lot of different options there, too, but not quite like the Preferido.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go the 107 Connecticut because if they are the occasional smoker, I don't want to give them something that's going to knock them on their rear. I do want to give them something that's going to be a good, even, mild smoke. And by the same token, you know, again, we're always price conscious. That's a, you know, that's a good $7-$8 cigar.
Yeah. The other one I think I would go with, which it's kind of hard because I'd love to say the Ashton ESG or VSG. But those are just such strong cigars. Again, the VSG is the only other cigar that's ever knocked me down. So that's definitely not for the faint of heart. But I think an Ashton White Label.
It's a good choice.
It's a superb looking cigar. Simple white band, beautiful, smooth, caramel colored Connecticut wrapper. Beautiful cigar. One of the best, most well-made cigars in the industry, I think. And, you know, you're up in the $12 range for a Toro or a Churchill. So it's not cheap. And it doesn't necessarily look like a gift cigar, but that's something that you're putting the time and attention into choosing quality. And I think that makes a huge impact.
The other cigar I'm going to recommend is the Undercrown Shade. Just the straight up regular Undercrown Shade. It's complex without being overpowering.
For a college graduation, though?
For the occasional smoker, for somebody who doesn't look at an Undercrown Shade and say, oh, that's $8.96. For the occasional smoker, the Undercrown Shade is hard to beat. Because, you know, we've said it on there before, that's my golf course cigar. Right. I always have one of them in my hands for the golf course in case I come across somebody who I want to share a cigar with that don't smoke all the time but will enjoy one on the golf course and can be relit multiple times.
I'm going to throw another one at you just because we both love it, and I think it kind of fits the bill both ways, which is the Dom Pepin Blue Label, the original.
That's outstanding.
It's got a beautiful band. It's very consumer-friendly. It'll appeal to people with a complex palate as well as a neophyte palate. And it has a little satin footband on it. So the presentation from a, you know, from a gift standpoint, you know, the label itself, no, the original doesn't have a satin footband. I'm thinking of the Florida Las Antillas.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have a satin footband. But I think, you know, anything that kind of has that, and it's still in the price point of your Undercrown Shade, but I think it presents well.
And this goes back to our earlier conversation. You notice when we've chose these cigars, we've chose what cigar presents well as what cigar smokes well. And if we're in Canada and everything looks like it come from an army surplus store,
right?
Then it takes something away from that.
That's true. That definitely is true. But then you just drive south of the border to Michigan, you buy them there, and then you go back.
Yeah, you can buy something, and if you can put a little work into it, if it's going to be a cigar you're going to give to somebody, you're planning ahead for that. That's not something that you just pull out of your humidor and say, oh yeah, this looks good, I'll stick it in his hand.
Right, exactly.
Or her hand.
Right.
Whichever the case may be. Yeah, whoever the case may be. But there is a lot to that, into knowing your audience. And the graduation is a celebration. It is the culmination of a lot of hard work. It's also the culmination of, you know, I tell people all the time, get a college degree. The process of getting a college degree is worth so much more than the degree you get.
It is, but make sure you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, be sure that it's not something you're going to be sure that you're getting a degree in something you're going to enjoy doing.
And even if it's I'd say make sure it's a trade or a skill or something that you come away with not only the knowledge but also a job description.
Yeah, something that you can really cash in on. Be sure it's something that either fulfills you spiritually or fulfills you financially. Don't get a degree.
And if you can find one that does both, even better.
Yeah.
So we're coming up to the end of the show. I want to talk about, we teased it a little bit earlier, the contest that we're running right now. We've only got a couple more weeks to get your submissions in. We've got a couple of really good ones so far. But basically, it's a name that cigar. Come up with your best fake cigar name and give us some details about it. We talked about the MASH line of cigars. I think that would be so much fun. You put them in, the boxes would look like ammo cases, and each different size is named after a character from the show. You know, you could probably use, I don't think there's any Korean tobacco, but that might be a little on the nose anyway.
Yeah, that might be a little much.
But I think it would fit well in the Espinosa line, because they already do the Nunchuck, the La Bamba. They do those kind of series. I think it would fit in well with their line. something nice. And but you've got so much that you could play. You could, you know, the different characters. You could make it.
Well, and Sam Lucia did that with the Luchador.
Right.
You know, he named, all of his are named after wrestling moves, the Frog Splash, the Super Kick, the El Gringo. You know, they're named after a wrestling theme. And that is something, we will definitely accept cigars made up based on a theme.
Absolutely.
You know, a favorite TV show theme, that works as well.
Right, absolutely. So let us know, you know, the company you think that it would fit in well with, you know, some details about the cigar, country of origin, whatever. Just come have some fun with it. Get a little creative. Send those submissions to us on facebook.com/thecigarcast. Drop us a line, email info@thecigarcast.com. And, of course, you can mention us on Instagram or Twitter @thecigarcast. And also just want to give one more shout-out to our sponsor, Crown Cigars and Ales, who just celebrated 2 years yesterday at their celebrated 1 year. It was their second party, the grand opening party, and then the one-year anniversary. Help me out here, Shane. I'm drowning. But celebrate a first year in business, and the place is doing great. And, Austin, you're doing a fantastic job. Thanks for having us, and we're proud of you.
Well, don't worry. You'll never dig a hole so deep I won't throw you a shovel. The other thing I do want to mention, since we're having gratitude, one of our listeners sent me the most thoughtful gift. He sent me...
Yeah, where's my cut, by the way?
Oh, well, it's coming.
Okay.
He sent me a lot of delicacies from his homeland, from where he lives in Mexico. Alex Acosta sent us guacamole salsa, salsa verde, habanero paste, and some hibiscus tea. I made the hibiscus tea for my family. My wife's family was in town last week, so we all sat around and we had a little fiesta that night, and I made a big jug of hibiscus tea. I had to fight the urge to add booze till it turned into sangria, but other than that, it was wonderful, and I really appreciate it. You have no idea how much joy that brought into my life, and a little more joy because I got to open the package there in front of all of her family and say, you know, this is from one of our listeners on the podcast. Yeah. It came at the perfect time.
It did, especially because you got that package on the day that the Predators lost Game 7 and got kicked out of the playoffs. So at least there was something good that happened that night.
There was. It was a very thoughtful gift, and I thank the world of Alex, and I thank him for thinking of us, and glad that everybody out there brings us into their home and brings us into their life and gets to listen to us talk for a couple of hours every week, and we get to enjoy doing it. I think that wraps it up.
I believe it does. Well, thank you all for listening.
And everyone out there this week, have a great cigar and think well of us.